Mr. Waterhouse, how he used to go 2.5-3 hours. And Mom and Dad were teasing me about going, having a long sermon. I said, if I did that, I would never live that down with my family. So I'm going to tell Dad, keep track of my time, because I haven't timed this sermon, this message, and just cut me off if it's time to get it cut off. So obviously we are coming up on the spring holidays, the Passover, Days of Unleavened Bread. So I thought to myself, what a better time, obviously, than to talk about the topic of the spring holidays. Cleaning. We're going to hear a lot of messages about ourselves, and which made me think, as a Christian, what do we do throughout the year? How are we supposed to be as a Christian? And the first thing that came to my mind through these days is we're supposed to be servants. We're supposed to serve throughout the year. And then, during this time, with the Passover coming up, it's a topic of self-reflection. We're supposed to examine ourselves. So, with serving and self-reflection, these are the two topics we're going to talk about today and how they mesh in one to the other. So, with serving, it doesn't come natural, does it? Serving just does not come natural. Human nature is to be selfish. We want to do what we want to do when we want to do it. I want what's best for me. What I desire is what I want to purchase and buy. The desire, we've seen through history, what happens in nations? It causes war, conflict. Nation can't get along with nation. It's human nature. We don't want to help out one another. Let's turn to our first scripture, Jeremiah 17, and see what the scripture says about deceit, desire. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 and 10, says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. So scripture here in Jeremiah says that the heart is wicked. It's full of deceit. That's the man's way. Man's way is wicked. It's full of deceit. Turn over to Proverbs 4:23. Proverbs 4:23, and we'll read through verse 27. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. But put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. So we are told to keep our heart with all diligence, because out of our heart, out of our mind, what we think about, and if we think about negativity and bad things, then that is what we're going to do. So we're supposed to keep out of our mind the wicked things and contemplate on godly things. And we all fight human nature, whether we're 45 years old or 90 years old. We're all fighting human nature, no matter our age. Think of all the great people we've known through our lives. Mr. Armstrong, growing up in the church? What about the presidents through our lifetime? What about the history books we've read, all the great people, the conquerors throughout history? All of these people, all of us, has had to fight human nature, our selfish wants and desires. So the question is, are we inherently bad people? Are we really bad people according to Scripture? Let's turn to Genesis 1, verse 25. At the very beginning of creation, what does God say about creation? Genesis 1, 25. And we'll read through verse 31. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on earth and according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over the earth, and over the creeping things that creeps on earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food, and also every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life. I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening of the morning were the sixth day. So God did create us in his image, in his kind, and he was thankful. He did say that what he created was good, which is you and I. God was very happy for everything that worked out. So, as we tend to be self-centered, what happens when people are self-centered? Well, from being in the workplace, I see that people that are self-centered are depressed. There's a lot of depression. I also see a lot of negativity. Some people are hard to be around. They're just negative all the time. And you think, why do you have to be negative all the time? Even if you do a good deed, that person is still negative and says there's a reason why you did that good deed. So some people are just make a habit of being negative. So I read this one study. It was of 63 to 90-year-olds, of married couples. So the average married couple was 39 years. And they were asked, what creates a happy marriage? What creates a happy marriage? And on average, they said there was three things that creates a happy marriage. Positivity. You have to be a positive person. Your personalities have to match, and also good health. So it was interesting, those three things, that positivity was one of them. Let's turn to Romans 8, verse 6. Romans 8, 6 through 9. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So this scripture says that we are to be a part of God, to have the Holy Spirit in us. We should have a positive outlook, to be a happy person, to be a giving person, to be loving. Scripture says that carnal equals death. A spiritual mind, one with the Holy Spirit, desires to live God's way of life. One who is a servant. Christ was a servant. And it is our job to change our minds as we're growing as a Christian, to change our minds to become more and more like Christ, to become more of a servant throughout our years of living and growing as Christians. Let's turn to Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, 1 through 3. The title says, Living Sacrifices to God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one of one a measure of faith. So it says, don't esteem one another more highly than ourselves. That's not what servants do. Servants are to serve. Don't esteem yourself as mighty. Look and do and live as a servant. As a servant. So another little tidbit of information on the World Wide Web. As I researched people who volunteer, 1 in 3 people in the United States volunteer. I had no idea that it was that high. But 1 in 3 people volunteer in the United States. What happens if you volunteer? It has been scientifically proven, if you volunteer, that you are a healthier person. Your health increases, which also increases your lifespan. People who don't volunteer often have an idealized view of people who do volunteer. They put the people who volunteer on a pedestal, and it deters them from volunteering because they feel that they just don't measure up. However, they're doing themselves a disservice. If they volunteered, they might be healthier and live longer, as well as doing a good deed for your brother. Verse 9, Romans 12, verse 9, and we'll read through verse 21. The title here is Behave Like a Christian. It says, Behave Like a Christian. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. And as we go through these scriptures, ask yourself, do I do these things throughout my life? Do I live this when I'm not at church throughout the week? throughout the year with family members, people in the grocery store? Do I live this life in these scriptures? Verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. How many people are patient in tribulation? That's a tough one. Continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Mentioned several places in the Old Testament. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals on the fire of sin. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So basically, these scriptures amount to being a servant. It amounts to being able to give, give, and give some more. What makes a happy marriage? To give to your mate, to give to your children. Scripture says to even give to enemies. Take care of people. It doesn't say anything in the scriptures we just read about getting. I don't see that. It's not about getting, it's about giving. So as a servant, how do we become a servant? How do we serve? Are we serving? Well, to do this, we have to change our thought process to be a servant. We have to change our thoughts. Get rid of the greed. Get rid of the desire. We have to learn how to serve. We can't just flick a light switch. It takes years. It takes practice. We have to change our thought process. How do you choose to think? Let's see. How do we choose to think? Are we profitable? Are we negative? How do you choose to think? Do we think of good or do we think evil? Do we want? Do we desire? Is our mind of righteousness or unrighteousness? Clean or unclean? Moral, immoral? Honest, dishonest? Pure, impure? Is your mind true or untrue? Is it noble? Or is it noble? Is it just or unjust? Is your thought process loving or is it just ugly? Good, bad. Is it virtuous or corrupt? Is it praiseworthy or unworthy? Things to think about. How do we choose to think? Let's turn to Isaiah 55, verse 7. Isaiah 55. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And you have to think, as we read this, why is Christ saying this? It's because Christ knows our thoughts. He knows the way humankind, mankind thinks, the human nature, the carnality. Verse 10, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So with that last scripture, the question is, do our words have meaning? Do our words have purpose? How many times have we been in a conversation and it's always, sometimes it's a one-sided conversation and that person just rambles and rambles and rambles. So, do our words have purpose? Do our words have meaning? Let's turn to Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians 4, verse 8, the title says, meditate on these things. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, our statements, our promises, our friendships, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, honor. Respect. Do we respect those that are our elders? Do we respect those that have wisdom, that can give us guidance? Whatever things are just, the things that are right between you and I, whatever things are right and just, whatever things are pure, our thoughts, our feelings, are they pure? Whatever things are lovely. So whatever is dear to you, what is pleasing to you in God's eyes, whatever is of good report, truly reputable of this world, is there any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. These are the things we are to meditate upon, brethren, to change our thought process, to become more of a servant as Jesus Christ. My next question, as we have all seen this, is there a reason behind your serving? Do you have an ulterior motive? Are you doing it to get something down the road? Are you doing it just because it needs done and you're a good-hearted person with pure thoughts? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 3. First Corinthians 3, verse 5. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God gives the increase. God gives the increase. Now who plants and who waters are one, and each one who received his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed of how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Christ is our foundation. Verse 12. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold and silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one of your work and what sort it is. If any one work which is built on endures, he will receive an award. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So good acts, we have read, with good intentions will be rewarded. Those with ulterior motives will be burnt with fire. So what is the thought process behind our serving? If you write a journal and take 5 minutes a day and write in this journal of gratitude, it can increase your long-term well-being by 10%. You can live a healthier life 10% by just writing a 5-minute daily journal on gratitude, being thankful for what you have, what God has given to us. Showing gratitude makes us more social. People like us better when we show gratitude. If we show gratitude to our coworkers, to people that we're around, people like us 17.5% greater. Isn't that crazy? 17.5% greater. Gratitude makes us nicer, more trusting. People trust us more if we show gratitude. We have more friends. Nobody likes being around a negative person. So you have more friends when you show gratitude. You have deepened relationships. Gratitude also improves marriages. People are healthier that show gratitude. 16% fewer physical symptoms. 16% fewer physical symptoms just by showing gratitude. If you show gratitude and write in a journal 5 minutes a day of gratitude, 19% increased in exercise a day. You will exercise 19% more. You have 10% less pain, 8% better sleep, 8% better sleep just by showing gratitude, 25% better quality of sleeping. Showing gratitude also boosts our career. Isn't that crazy? Boost our career. just by saying thank you, you're doing a good job, giving people praise, giving thanks, showing gratitude. So we are to be servants of Christ. We are to be servants of Christ. Let's see. First Corinthians. Okay, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 5. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is in the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before time until the Lord comes, who will both bring the light, the hidden things of darkness, and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God the Father. So we do know that God is our judge. God is the one that can read our thoughts. He knows whether we have ulterior motives behind what we're doing, good works, or if we do have a pure heart. God knows. He can read our thought process. He can look at us from the inside. So as Christians, we are to do good inside and out. God the Father is our judge. So now we're going to talk about self-reflection. Throughout the year, we are to be a servant. And now it's come the time of the year, the Passover, when we are to self-reflect. To examine ourselves, to see if we're actually being a servant throughout the year. So now we're going to talk about self-reflection in honor of the upcoming Holy Days. I pulled off an article on the internet concerning self-reflection. And I'm just going to read this article. This man is around 50 years old. He says, it's easy for an ambitious people to get lost in the day, week, and even the month. Ambitious people are always at 100 miles an hour. I know people that are so driven, they blink and a whole year is gone. I have no issue with being driven and productive. I myself love to accomplish and engage in new activities and opportunities continuously. But I also feel very connected to who I am and the people I choose to include in my life. To make sure that I keep the connection, I consciously set aside time for self-reflection. And he says that this is different than prayer or meditation. It's a time devoted for self-reflection. The time specifically focused on questions about my goals, my behavior, and my general state of mind. So he reviews his goals, his behavior, and state of mind, and checks himself to see how he's doing. I set aside time every week to unplug from everybody and everything. And I use that time to ask myself these following questions. This helps me make sure that I am in touch with the deep part of myself so I can be whole for the people that I care about. And he has 10 points here. We'll read through them real quick. The first point, it says, am I living up to my core values and personal mission? Am I living up to my core values and personal mission. Without structure, you can end up anywhere. He says, I keep my own set of rules and guidelines to guide me, and I can evaluate whether I'm following them or how much deviation has led me astray. Number two, am I being a person others can respect? Am I being a person that others can respect? It may at times be useful to think your actions don't matter to others, but of course they do. I always want to be a righteous person who earns respect. I review behavior and ponder improvements regularly. This includes showing more gratitude and appreciation whenever possible. So he as well mentions gratitude in his article. Number three, am I respecting my body the way I should? Am I respecting my body the way I should? As we know, in the last couple of years, the United States has been big on this as far as eating healthier and exercising more. A lot of it has made its place into the workforce. And the companies want you to eat healthier because it decreases their medical bills. Number three, am I respecting my body the way I should? The world gets busy and the body gets a lower priority. At nearly 50, that approach is no longer an option. This is a time to adjust my schedule and priorities to make my body the best it can be. Number four, am I meeting the expectations I set for others around me? Am I meeting the expectations I set for others around me? This is interesting. It's not my job to make everyone around me happy all the time, but disappointment is well within my control. I review my behavior to make sure I haven't led people astray. I much prefer to under-promise and over-deliver whenever possible. So am I meeting the expectations I set for others? Basically, he doesn't want to be a hypocrite. He wants to make sure that he's doing the same thing he's telling others to do. Am I using my talents fully? Number five. Am I using my talents fully? There's no point in having gifts if you don't use them. We know that from Scripture. You don't want to bury your talents. You want to at least earn interest. So physically, if we have talents, are we using our gifts? We've all been blessed with one gift or another. Number six, am I performing at my peak capacity? Am I performing at a peak capacity? He says, I don't believe that an energetic person should go all out all the time. Peak capacity includes getting ample amount of downtime and rest so that you're delivering both in quantity and quality. Number seven, am I giving my family and friends my most and my best? Am I giving my family and friends my most and my best? I am very selective about the people who I spend time with, regardless of whether or not they are blood relative. I want my relationships both at work and at home to play a deep, fun, meaningful part in my life. So do you contribute to your friends' relationships? Number eight, am I engaging in worthy activity? Number eight, am I engaging in worthy activity? I believe that most people want to matter at the end of their lives. Not everything we do adds up to significance, but sometimes creating a laugh or a simple, nice memory for someone is worthy. Being there for a friend, a brother. Number nine, am I making a positive impact on the world? Am I making a positive impact on the world? Number 10, am I on the path to my preferred future? Am I on the path to my preferred future? We all have a goal, each and every one of us. We all want to be in the millennium. We want to walk and talk with Christ, with the apostles. Are you on your path? Can you get there with the path that you're going today? And I will mention that Raleigh wanted me to say that one of the most glorious days is not when he turned 90, but when we're all the same age and we're all together in the kingdom. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. So we know that Satan is in this world. He's the prince of the air. There's a lot of persuasion that Satan does with the leaders of each nation, and it trickles down into our states, and it trickles down into our local communities, into our neighbors, and it's something that each one of us has to be on guard, and we have to be cautious of the Satan in this world. But we do know that with the Holy Spirit in us, that we can have a change of mind. We can change our thought process. Let's read verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that is, the excellence of the power may be of God and not in us, not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. So we all have our own trials that we go through. We are beaten down, but we continue on. We are persecuted as Christians, but we continue on. We're Sabbatarians. We're here on the Sabbath. Sometimes we're persecuted for attending the Sabbath day, the holy days, but we continue on. Let's turn to 1 Peter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, You have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So our faith is very precious. We do have trials through life, various trials. We all go through different issues, but we continue on. We have an inheritance to claim. We are to go through a transformation. We are to change from a worldly, carnal person to a servant of God the Father. Let's turn to Galatians 5. And you probably don't even have to turn here because you should know it by heart. Memory scripture, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. How are we doing in our Christian lives when we self-reflect? Do we see the fruits of the Spirit in us? Do you see love in you, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? If you were to ask a co-worker or your wife or husband or best friend, would these be some of the characteristics that they would describe you? So we are to meditate on these things. We are to, in our lives, display these things. It's very difficult to do. It's easy to say, but it's very difficult to live these things, to live it. Let's turn to Romans 5, verse 1. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope in the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Is that what it produces? What Scripture says, if you overcome tribulation, it is to produce perseverance. Trials build our character, patience. And perseverance, verse 4, character, and character, approved character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in your hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We know that sin is heavy. It lies heavy on our heart. And thankfully, we can repent and our slate is cleaned. Christ even loved a soldier that pierced him. That's great love. The fruit grows during the hard times. And that's what we have to remember during tribulation. We are growing. Doesn't feel like it. But after the trial, we can look back and we can point out at least one aspect of growth Sometimes you may have to sit there and think hard and long about it. But I am positive that there's at least one aspect that has helped us. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. One through four. The greatest gift. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but I have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Scripture tells us that it's irrelevant what you can do if you don't have love. You've got to have love in your life. Verse 3. And though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Verse 5 through 7, I want you to insert yourself in these scriptures. Insert the word I. Verse 5. I do not behave rudely. Hopefully that's true. I do not behave rudely. I do not seek its own. I do not provoke. I do not think evil. Verse 6. I do not rejoice in iniquity. I rejoice in the truth. Verse 7. I bear all things. I believe all things. I hope in all things. I endure in all things. That's some broad shoulders. That you can take these things. Verse 8. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in a part, and we prophesy in part. Verse 10. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I become a man, I put away the childish things. It's about maturity. As we grow as a Christian, we need to put away the childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide in faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. So we've talked about being a servant today. How are we doing the 365 days of the year? Are we changing our thought process to become a servant, to help others? Are we a positive person, happy, easy to get along with? Hopefully we're not esteeming ourselves as mighty. Hopefully we don't have ulterior motives behind those good deeds that we do. Are we becoming servants of Christ? And now as the Passover service comes approaching, and we are to self-reflect, to examine ourselves, we do know that there is a reward for us, that Jesus Christ is going to return, that we are going to be part of God's family. Are we on the path to be a part of that family as we self-reflect? Are we on that path, or do we need to change paths? Are we meditating? Are we reflecting? Are we living the fruits of the Spirit? We want to be there when Christ says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord."